in the Garden with Jay Harper. And, you know, something we haven't even hit on yet is winter gardens. There's some beautiful winter lawns. There's some beautiful green lawns out there. And it's our favorite lawn. And the kids always say, when do we get the soft grass back? When do we get the soft grass back?
Yeah. It certainly is much different than Bermuda grass. It mows differently. It's soft, as you mentioned. You know, I tell people it's real grass.
not a Bermuda weed.
Yeah. So and we've had enough cold weather now where you can tell the difference between the overseeded lawns and the dormant Bermuda lawns are gone pretty dormant in most places. So. I don't know. I'm of the thinking that if we get to the point where we have to choose, I would rather have the winter lawn than the summer lawn. Let the Bermuda grass kind of do what it does in the summer, and you know, not worry. You know, you're not the whole point of having a lawn. To me, really, is not just to look at it. If you're just going to have something green out there to look at, then I think artificial turf is probably the way to go. If it's strictly cosmetic. Curb appeal, drive up to my front yard, have it look nice. Artificial turf looks good 365 days out of the year.
Without having to mow it.
All you gotta do is take a blower and blow some of the leaves off of it once in a while. If the purpose of a lawn is to have it for the dogs, the kids, to play games on, to enjoy, then when are you going to do that? October to May. Most likely. So it makes a whole lot more sense to have a really nice winter lawn than to fight, you know, and have a summer lawn. Besides, you know, the last time I watered my winter lawn was about a month ago.
And it probably looks just fine.
It looks great. Now, if we don't get this storm first of next week, I will certainly have to, and I may have to water it this weekend, but that's the other thing about winter lawns. Once you get them established, germinated and established, that takes a little water in October because it's still pretty warm and you're trying to germinate it. But once you get it going, you know, most winters we get enough rain, you almost don't have to water it. There have been some winters I haven't watered.
Just make sure you fertilize every 6 weeks?
Yep. Keep it fertilized and, keep it mowed and edged and keep it well fed and, you know, only water as it needs it. And, you just have a thing of beauty all winter that you actually can go out and enjoy. So there's my soapbox.
And it's something you can plant really any time of the winter as long as you can find the seed. The stores usually seem to run out about end of November, beginning of December, but you could be planting that, and we commonly, constantly are patching different areas that animals have torn up or whatever the case, and you know, those seeds germinate all winter long.
Yeah, and that brings up a good point. Always buy a little more seed, you know, have a little extra seed so you can, you know, do a little repair here and there.
And yeah. I don't think we can talk lawns here in the middle of the winter without addressing how many calls we got last summer about the infestation of spurge.
You know, and maybe there's a whole point. Maybe we just let spurge be your summer lawn.
Oh! Man,
That's not something you want to play football in.
I've already called Scottsdale Weed Control, and I said, look, you're going to hit me in January, and you're going to hit me again in March. I'm done with this spurge overtaking my summer lawn.
Yeah, and so, yeah, we have to think way ahead. If you had a lot of spurge, and if you don't know what spurge is, I'd be shocked if you don't have some of it in your landscape somewhere. It's a euphorbia, so it's milky sapped. If you pull it or break it and you break the stem open, it's got a white sap in it. But it's very low growing, spreads, and the hotter and more humid it gets, the better it likes it.
And it takes over everything.
And it
will over-dominate whatever you've got.
It has a million. It's got, the seed count is unbelievable.
And it's ugly.
It isn't
to boot.
Pretty. Yeah, it isn't that attractive. No, you're right. If at least it had an attractive little flower on it or something,
right.
You know, could tolerate it. But it doesn't even have that. So the birds spread it. You'll see the birds out there, especially the doves, they just love the seeds off of that. And so that's part of the problem. So it spreads very easily. So be careful if you're pulling it or mowing it, that you're just spreading the seed, and then you're just making it worse. So
if you're out there pulling it by hand, take a plastic grocery bag
and put it straight into that. Yep. And probably one of the worst things you can do is actually mow over it.
Ugh.
And just, you know, you're just spreading the seeds everywhere. So, yep. So yeah, for sure.
You could save yourself a lot of agony preparing for that summer surge right now.
Yeah. February, March would be ideal, but it wouldn't hurt to hit it a couple, especially if we have a lot of rain, because one thing about the more moisture you have, the more it can shorten the length of the effectiveness of the pre-emergent. So, good point.
Now, broadleaf, when you go to the nursery and you've got broadleaf weed killer for lawns, mm-hmm. can you take that granular and put it over just bare dirt? I've got an area up by the house that's not part of the lawn, but constantly, for whatever reason, I think it's just the way the wind blows, it always seems to settle here. And no matter how much pulling I do, you know, these broadleaf cheese weeds just keep coming back. Can I just take that same product, or do I need to hit that with a different liquid?
No, a broadleaf is broadleaf, whether it's in a lawn or not in a lawn, it will work. Sure. You don't have to use anything different.
Okay. I didn't know if it needed that all that watering that the sprinklers do.
You're not talking about a pre-emergent. You're talking about a post-emergent, mm-hmm. a contact herbicide, yeah. getting it on the leaf of the weeds that are there and killing them. It will work the same way if it's in dirt as if it was in a lawn. So there are no issues doing that.
Ragweed is my new enemy. I mean, that if it starts, it spreads, and those roots are deep, and I've tried everything to kill it, and it just keeps coming back.
Really?
That seems to, the goats won't even eat it.
Well, that's bad if a goat won't eat it. Eat about anything. Yeah, well, I don't know what to tell you on that, other than the younger and smaller and more tender the foliage is on a weed, the easier it usually is to kill. So try and catch it early.
Mm-hmm. In the back lawn, Roundup has worked very well. But when it starts growing into and around our edibles, that's not something I want to use there. And it's prolific. It takes over everything. I shouldn't say this because it'll probably happen, but I'd rather have spurge than ragweed.
Have not had much experience trying to get rid of ragweed, so I'll take your word for it. But if you tried the flamethrower on it?
And that works until it grows back.
Yeah, it's just temporary.
But
it's more fun.
Very satisfying just watching it burn. If you'd like to join the conversation, 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. You can text questions to 411-923 or email info@rosieonthehouse.com. And we do have a couple callers on hold that will be screened in a moment. Jennifer just ran downstairs to get our guest for the On the House Hour. So we'll go through a couple digital questions. This text came in. We were talking about lawn fertilizer, and this 623 area code, which kind of doesn't mean a whole lot anymore. It used to be very boundary driven, but that cell phones have seemed to change that. But probably more than likely somebody in the desert Maricopa County area. What do you use to fertilize a winter lawn?
Well, you can use a number of things. When it gets colder, ammoniacal nitrogen, which is what a lot of people use, you know, ammonium sulfate or a fertilizer that has an ammoniacal nitrogen in it, can be a little slower acting. So you might want to switch to something that has a nitrate type fertilizer in it. Turf Royale is the brand name that probably is most widely accepted. But it uses some ammoniacal, but it also uses some nitrate nitrogen. You can, you know, of course, if you want to stay organics, you know, the Farm's Choice makes a good pelleted chicken manure fertilizer, and organics are going to be a little slower as it gets cold too, but they will continue to break down and will last over and work over a longer period of time than ammoniacal nitrogens will. So those are your good choices. Either you know, the Farm's Choice chicken manure, pelleted fertilizers, or you know, Turf Royale. You can't buy. The event in Oklahoma City a number of years ago kind of put the straight ammonium nitrate sales out of commission, but you can buy it blended with other fertilizers, and it works very well.
And that Farm's Choice, you can find it in a lot more areas than it used to.
Yeah, if you go to the farmschoice.com, our website, you'll see a number of places that are listed that carry the product. We have several different products. They may or may not have the right one, but if you'll let us know, we'll make sure they get it to you.
Then this gentleman writes in, we're going to go south here to Catalina, just north of Tucson, and wants to know what to do to keep deer away. He has planted 5-gallon trees. They are Afghan pines, and the deer have already chewed up most of them.
Well, you know, so a lot of people that plant trees in the mountain communities or the areas that have wildlife, deer and elk, will fence the trees in with, you know, with a chicken wire type apparatus till they get big enough to withstand, you know, the munching from them. There are also some repellents that I understand are pretty effective. There's some things that clip onto the branches of the plants. There are things you can spray around the edges that, you know, that are odor driven. Some of them are have taken things like coyote urine or, you know, something that's a predator to the deer. And so it obviously wards them off. There was a movie a number of years ago. Trying to think of the name of it, about a guy that was a baseball player who coached the baseball team in Texas. And he went to the barber shop.
The rookie
and got all the hair from the barber shop and put it out on the baseball field because the deer were eating the grass on the baseball. I don't know if that works or not. blood meal will work against rabbits. I don't know why it wouldn't work against deer, but you can attract dogs and coyotes that way. So, it's going to be a little bit of a challenge. Sprinkler apparatus that you had at one time might work.
You know, that one is, it was called the Scarecrow, and I've had a hard time with that one. It seems like the company ownership has been bought and moved a few times, and they're not as easy to find as they used to be, but it was a motion-activated sprinkler called the Scarecrow, and you could daisy chain them, so you could put like 3 or 4 in a perimeter around from where the deer come in, and every time that picks up that motion, that
you know, I think
off.
You can fairly affordably actually put a single strand electric fence up, you know, using a car battery and, you know, electric wire and do a little electric fence around your property for a while. They can do them with a little solar panel to recharge the battery.
You see those at Tractor Supply.
Yeah. I don't think they're too terribly expensive. So you might even give that a whirl.
And then Bonide also sells one specifically formulated for deer and rabbits. It's called Go Away. Okay. And it's a granular you could use as a perimeter. And it could be a combination of 4 or 5 of these.
And you may take that. Yep, you may take that.